Tonight, we are not going to do a sword drill. We are going to be in one place in the Bible. So open your Bibles up to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew. Guess who wrote the book of Matthew? A guy named Matthew. Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, Matthew chapter 25. Who? Daquan. It's pronounced Daquan, Scott. Gosh. Is that like a video or something that I'm missing? Okay. Hilarious. I'm sure he did. Everybody played with Ninja. It's like not even a big deal anymore. Okay. So tonight we are going to continue this series talking about a heart to serve, okay, and how God is on this mission to reclaim worshipers, right? He wants to restore the relationship between man or woman and him. And so we are going to study tonight a really neat portion of what God wants us to be like, a picture of our life, okay? And so I think Jesus does a really good job here in this passage that we are going to read from. He's going to point us toward how our life is supposed to look. And it's actually pretty different than what, you know, TV shows that we tend to watch kind of show that our life looks like. A lot of times, TV shows show the American life of being busy, go to work, go to sports, do homework, have some kind of midlife crisis, figure it all out, everyone hugs at the end, and it's all good, okay? That's like a typical TV show, or if you're into, like, medical dramas, someone comes into the ER, they're like, oh my gosh, something's terrible happening in my body. And then they go, oh no, something terrible is happening in his body. Let's find out what it is. It's probably this. And then, nope, it's not that. And then they try and figure it out. They actually figure out what it is, typically. And then either the person lives or dies. Okay. So most of us don't experience that every single day of our life. We may see it on TV every day of our life, but yeah, it's TV. It's made up. Okay. So tonight we're going to talk about the kind of life that God desires for us to live and so that we can know what that is going to look like. Okay. Found a really neat quote. Anybody know who Booker T. Washington? Anybody? Nope. Different guy. Different guy. Sounds important. All right, how many of you like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches?
Oh, he invented peanuts. Oh, I remember. I thought that was
true. Okay. Okay, Booker T. Washington is not George Washington Carver. Different guy, okay? It's a different guy. He was very influential, though, in many different capacities. That was George Washington Carver, yeah. So Booker T. Washington is this very influential man, lived about 120 years ago, something like that. Yes. Who built the school? No, that was George Washington Carver also. Okay. Great. So I have a quote that I want to share with you from him. And he proposes this. He says, those who are the happiest are those who do the most for others. I almost put on there, those who are the happiest are those who do the most for themselves. Because that's kind of what the world teaches us, is whatever you want in life, go out and do it, get it for yourself, and that'll make you happy. And the truth is that you can pursue something with your whole life, and you can always be striving and never satisfied when you're trying to serve yourself. But he makes a really good point that a lot of times the people who are the most satisfied in life, the most content, the happiest, are the people who live their life in a manner that serves others. Now, this isn't Jesus talking right here, but it is a really good point that I think Jesus is also going to make, and that we'll see played out throughout this scripture. So, Matthew 25, You have that. We're going to start, I think it is in 31, verse 31. It says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Okay? We're going to pause there for a second. So he's talking about when Jesus comes back, as he has promised that he will, that all the people who have ever lived are going to be before him at a point, and he's going to separate out those who have trusted in him with their life, who have followed after him as disciples, and then everyone else, okay? So the sheep are those who follow him, and that is a similar description. Eighth graders, you'll remember 2 years ago at middle school retreat, we talked about following Christ, that he's the good shepherd. You may remember that. That is the same kind of imagery that's being used here. The followers of Christ are the sheep, and he uses the idea of goats to be the others, those who are separated out from the followers of Christ. That's everyone else. Let's continue. He says, and he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. So Jesus talks in this way, that he likens every time that these righteous people served others, that it was like they were doing that directly to him. And this is something that can be difficult for us to remember, because we have to sometimes, when we serve, we have to see people in a way that isn't how we think up Jesus when we think him up, right? When we think up Jesus, we think up a guy who doesn't smell bad, who looks pretty nice. His, you know, hair on all the little pictures seems to be, like, perfect. Like, he's been using conditioner and stuff. And, I mean, he's just this great-looking man. And that's who we imagine Jesus is. Okay, well, one, the Bible says that Jesus was not someone who, by the look of him, was attractive to others. He wasn't someone that drew people to himself with his appearance. But instead, it was through the words that he spoke that it spoke to people in a way that they knew that they really needed something that he was talking about. Well, when we go to serve people, a lot of times it's not this great image we have of Jesus. It's someone who smells bad, someone who looks kind of rough or different than us, someone who has a different kind of personality than we do. Maybe they're very loud and you're not, or maybe they're very quiet and you're not, okay? These different people that we come in contact with and we have opportunities to live with and to serve in different capacities, Jesus says that when you serve them, it's like you serve me. So our principle tonight I want you to think about is always be on the lookout for any opportunities to serve those who need help. Always be on the lookout. Now, this means that we actually have to think about it, right? And this is one of the reasons why when you wake up in the morning and you're getting ready to go to school or you're getting ready for whatever the day has in store for you, you need to take some time and ask God to give you these opportunities and to remind you to do something when those opportunities come up. I don't know if you are like me. I've had opportunities before where someone has had a real need. It happened on, it was like a Wednesday night or something like that before, when I was trying to get ready to come over here with you guys. And for those of you who don't get here early, I get over here typically around like 4:45 or 5 o'clock and start turning on all the stuff, make sure everything's going, that we're ready to go. And I usually spend about an hour before that making sure all the student guides are printed, the keynotes ready to go for the night, that we've got everything in place. So, I mean, it really is from like 4 o'clock on a Wednesday on that it's just kind of like I got to have all that time. And so this one Wednesday, it was probably like 3:30 or something like that. This lady pulls up into the parking lot driving a car. And she gets out, and I was like, I've never seen this lady before in my life. I have no clue who she is. She looked kind of older. She was using a walker, and so I went up to her. I was like, she's probably here to talk to one of the other pastors or meet someone or something like that. So I go up, and I introduce myself and figure, you know, all I need to do really is kind of point her in the right direction of, you know, where she needs to go to meet whoever. And so I go, hey, I'm Pastor Scott. I'm one of the pastors here. Is there something I can do to help you? Are you here to meet someone? She said, yes, I really need some help financially right now. I'm having a hard time with some unexpected payments that I had to make for some things that came up. And I don't have the money right now to be able to pay for gas in my car, to be able to go to doctor's appointments. I don't have money to be able to get the food that I need for this week and stuff like that. And I was like, all right, well, guess what? I'm the middle school pastor, and I don't deal with that. And that was kind of my heart. I didn't say that out loud, right? Because that would have been really messed up. But that was kind of my heart in that moment. My heart at that moment at first was, look, that's not my deal. Okay, I deal with like 11 through 14 or 15-year-olds and all of their shenanigans. I don't have time for your shenanigans because I got to get ready for their shenanigans. And it's just going to be crazy here in a little while. And I have got to have some time to finish everything to get prepared for them. But, you know, just telling her to scram was probably going to be a pretty messed up thing. And the Holy Spirit kind of worked on my heart just a little bit to tell me that was not the way to go. So I said, okay, let's, you know, go over here and we'll talk with Miss Tammy because I have no idea what we tend to do in these kinds of situations. And so we walked over there and talked to Miss Tammy and Pastor Willie, who does a lot of help in our community missions. And so I was like, I know he will know exactly what to do. And Pastor Willie had to go and visit someone in the hospital like 5 minutes later, and he said, here's what I want you to do. Work through all the paperwork with her, with Miss Tammy, because, you know, we try to find out some information so we can continue to talk with these people, pray with them. It's a great opportunity for us when somebody's in need. And he said, work through the paperwork with her, and then go over and buy her some gas over at the Marathon station, and we'll see what all we can do. I was like, okay, well, it's like 3:45 now, and that paperwork's going to take a minute, and I really got to get, like, moving on this. Well, guess what? There was, like, nobody else in the office that day except, like, me, Pastor Willie, and Miss Tammy, and maybe, like, one or two other people for a couple minutes. So it really fell on me to be able to do this, and my heart was kind of, like, split at that time. Because part of me was like, yes, it's a good thing for me to be able to help someone in need. But the other part was like, I want to do my thing. This is getting in the way of me doing my thing. Just like what Pastor Will was saying on Sunday morning, if you guys were here, when he got in that car accident, he was like, the first thing that came in my mind was, I'm not going to get to go fishing now. And we tend to have this like very self-centered view instead of seeing how can we live in a way that serves others like Jesus would serve them. And so Jesus gives us a couple of different examples here, right? Look with me. He says in verse 35, he starts out with, I was hungry and you gave me food. And he says, I was thirsty and you gave me drink. Okay? We see this a few times where literally Jesus is hungry and thirsty. Okay? Some times that come to my memory is when he's in the wilderness and Satan tempts him. He was hungry. He had been 40 days without food. There was another time when he was at a well and a Samaritan woman was there. And he asked her to draw water for him to drink. And he had this whole interaction with her. But hunger and thirst is something that every one of us has, right? Now, each of us have probably only experienced those things on a very small scale. Most of us don't have chronic hunger where we are willing to jump in a dumpster to pull out food that's left over or to go out and hunt for some kind of little squirrel or something to eat it. Most of you guys are like, yeah, I just shoot squirrels with my airsoft gun because I think it's funny, okay? Some of you are like, yup. Okay? So hunger and thirst are something that everyone really has, but some people have it a lot worse than we do. We live in one of the best countries in the world for being able to have access to water. I mean, we can just go into any convenience store, and typically if you bring a cup, they'll let you fill it up with water, right? There are places you can go to get food. Most of you can afford food, or you can come here and say, I have absolutely zero money. Can I please eat? And we will say, no, you cannot. No, I'm just kidding, all right? If you are in a terrible spot, we try to cover for you guys, right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, we've had that before. So here's the thing. We have the kind of the responsibility, though, to look for when others are in need of those things. And so our church and members work to support people to be able to have clean water and to have food because of this passage right here, because Jesus is saying, when you love people in these ways that they have needs already, it's like you are living in a way that serves me. It's like you're serving me directly. And he gives other examples, right? One, he talks about, I was a stranger and you welcomed me. Remember a couple weeks ago when I talked about how here at Lyft and in our journey groups, we should be the most welcoming of anywhere that someone goes? You guys remember that? This is part of why I say that, okay? It's because Jesus says when we welcome someone in, it's like we are welcoming him. When there's someone here that you're like, I don't know who that guy is. Who's that girl? It's Jess. No, I'm just kidding. That's a different show. You walk up and you introduce them. You introduce yourself. You introduce them to other people. You show them around. You show them, this is the little paper you fill out, and then you get a free pizza. And then, you know, do this and come over here, hang out with us. Here's this game that we play. Guys, not everyone in the world knows how scatterball works. What? Okay. What? It could be Daquan. All right. No, not everyone knows. Yeah, the sixth graders. That's a great point. Right. So check this out. In a month, we're going to have sixth graders here. And all of you seventh graders are going to need to live in a way that welcomes them into our ministry. Guess what? All you eighth graders, you're going to be moving into high school, And you're going to want someone to do that to you so that you don't feel super awkward and weird, but instead you feel welcomed, like you belong, okay? This whole idea of do as you would want done, it really matters. And so we welcome people like we would want to be welcomed. He points out a few other things. He talks about, I was naked and you clothed me. That's a real need, right? Clothing. There are people around the world who are in need of clothing. And one of the great ways that we get to give is either financially or when we go through our closet, we can look for what are the things that I don't wear anymore, that I've outgrown, what can I donate and give to someone else who may be in need? Okay. Also, we have, I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. So it gives two other ideas of going to visit and see someone. So we have different opportunities throughout the year. Some of you have gone with us to Bethay before. Anybody done that? Okay. When we go to Bethay, we are visiting people who a lot of times are sick and get lonely, need people to come and visit them and to, you know, put a smile on their face, give them some hope. We get to go and do that. When we do that, it's like we are going and visiting Jesus. He says, you know, this whole idea of prison, we think of, well, if you're in prison, it's because you did something bad and you belong to be there, right? But the truth of the matter is, shortly after this whole, you know, book of the Bible is finished, Christians are being imprisoned because they're Christians. And let me tell you, if I was in prison just for being a Christian, I would be really, really sad about that, probably. And it would mean a lot to me that someone else came and cared enough to come and see me there and to visit with me. When we do those kinds of things where we put someone else's interests in front of our own and we get this whole idea like I had on that Wednesday night of it's about what I need to get done, what is on my agenda, what do I want. When we can put those things on the back burner and look at the needs of others, you know what? God gives us great joy in those things. And he also says that he rewards us. You remember toward the beginning, what was it that he said that they were going to receive? Look back in verse 34. Somebody tell me what it is that the people were to receive. In verse 34? The kingdom. They inherit the kingdom that was prepared for it. Exactly. See, Jesus has gone. He didn't just go away to do nothing. He went away to be preparing a place for us. And he says he's preparing that place for us to receive. And so as we live and then we eventually die, we go to be with him. He says he's got a reward. He's got something prepared in advance for us. And so we don't have to worry about being able to do these things in this life right now. Instead, we can look forward to the time that we'll have with him one day. Another point I want you to think about tonight is we love Jesus by obeying his commands to love people. When you obey the commands of Christ to love people, that's the number two commandment that he gave. Right behind love the Lord your God with everything you are, he says, love your neighbor as yourself. And if we would want someone, which I know if we were all in these situations, we would be so overjoyed that someone else would care to come and care for us. If that's how we would want to be treated, we've got to live in that kind of way also. I shared last week a little bit about when my dad was out of work and our family was in need. We had great needs. and people gave to meet those needs. And so I can feel for someone else in that kind of situation now because I've been there, and I know how much it means when someone else goes out of their way to provide for you. So we see these several different ways that Jesus commands us to love others who have these physical needs that are desperate situations. So what do some of the opportunities that we have look like to do these kinds of things and others? What do you think? Do you have no opportunities to do any of these things? Okay, how at school? How at school? Hold on. Give me a scenario. What could happen at school that you could meet someone's needs?
Okay, so say someone dropped the books in the hallway, you help them pick it up.
Okay. Okay. What about one of these kinds of needs where someone's hungry, thirsty, needing clothing, lonely, sick? What are the things that you guys can do? There are so many different things. I took like 5 seconds this week and wrote down like half a dozen things. Just boom, 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 boom. Okay. I don't know if someone would want your PE shirt, but...
So, the nurse, when Jack helped me walk down to the... Like, when I first broke it, they helped me walk down to the nurse's office.
You broke your arm?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then the nurse gave me ice.
Okay. Someone over here had their hand raised. Okay. Way to call me out right now, Hannah. No, I had these on earlier. Sure. Or you could ask, hey, what size shoes do you wear? And then if you've got some shoes that are like same size or something, you could be like, oh, hey, you know, I've got some shoes that may fit you. Maybe I'll bring some tomorrow, and then you can go home and look through your closet and see what have you got that you could give, okay? Yeah, if you can. You know, you want to give something as nice as you can. You want my house? You want my car? All right. Hilarious. Okay, what about this Saturday? What are we doing this Saturday? Okay, missions fest. What kind of opportunities do we have through missions fest?
Go out and serve the community by loving Jesus.
Little kids don't need sneakers.
Doing things. Okay, well, it's on Saturday, so there shouldn't be any high schoolers, especially without guns. All right, someone else. Someone else. What can we do at Missions Fest to do, you know, fulfill needs for someone? Anything? What can we do through Missions Fest to help people with things they have needs for? Whatever they have needs for? Okay. Okay. Starbucks? Okay. Sometimes people need. What was it? Hold on, guys. I can't hear. Haley's trying to. That's awesome. Okay. Was it Brandon? Oh, okay. Yep. There's no money on it? That's messed up. You should talk to someone in charge of Cree Camp. That's messed up. Shh. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. There you go. All right. Great example. Yep.
So, I was at Chick-fil-A on Monday, and I forgot what to eat and came home. And the lady at Chick-fil-A felt bad for me, so she gave me free coffee.
Well, that was nice. Okay. So, some of the things that we're going to do at Mission Fest, one is we're going to work on restoring the outside siding on some people's homes so that it's not exposed to the elements and stuff, so that, you know, especially kind of older people, when it's really hot, that can put a lot of stress on their body. When it's really cold, that can be fatal at times. So we're going to work on people's homes so that, I mean, they're going to be well taken care of. This whole idea, you know, the clothing thing is really a broader aspect, is shelter, okay? So providing that. We're also going to be doing work to help people who have, need a ramp put into their house or something like that. Guess what? If you're in a wheelchair and you can't get up your stairs, that's bad, right? Those are practical ways that we can serve people. We can go to places like House of Hope, right? You guys can serve with your families through House of Hope and serve food to people who are trying to work back from having different kinds of problems in their life or homelessness or things like that. PTSD.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great.
And also, I'm volunteering at the
Humane Society. Okay, cool. All right, like I said, you can also go through your clothes. Okay, great time of year. Go through your clothes, see what kind of things you're outgrowing maybe or that you don't wear anymore. We have a drop-off location. I can actually see it through the doors right now. It's a little green hut-looking thing back by the storage building. Okay, you can drop off clothes inside of that, and then they get donated. All right, that's a great way for you to do that. You can also work through mission trips, right? Anybody going to Belize this summer? Woo woo! Yeah. All right. No, you're not going. Faith is going because she's awesome. All right. So we have mission trips like every 90 days to go to Belize. Okay. So 4 times a year, basically, we send a team to go to Belize and to work there. And a lot of times, almost every time, I think, we do medical missions there. So people have needs, and it's literally this right here. They're sick, and we go to visit them. We help them out. Hundreds of people a day go through the clinic and are seen for different ailments. And so you can be involved in mission trips and things like that where we go and we serve people. You also have opportunities like what we do here in our area over spring break, when we go to buffet and we put on like a carnival or we do Christmas caroling or things like that. These are all, look, listen here, guys. We don't just do events to fill the calendar, okay? You may feel like we do. We don't, okay? Even, yes, even silly events, like some of the things we're going to do over the summer, okay? Some of those events are there because we want you to begin and to build friendships with each other. So if you don't do that at the event, it's a waste of our time, okay? So get to know each other. Don't just stand over on the side. Talk to each other. Get to know each other. Invite each other to do things together, okay? I love it when one of y'all are over there playing pool and you see someone else and you say, hey, you want to play a game with me? That's awesome, okay? Build relationships together. That's why we have some of that kind of time together. But we also have very intentional times where we serve people and different organizations that are working to serve people. So make sure that you make the most of those opportunities. We don't just tell you to go to it so that we can have a bunch of people there, but instead so that you can begin to grow in your walk with Christ by serving others and by building friendships with other believers. That's going to be great for you as you grow up, especially as you get into high school and as you graduate from high school. I don't know if you guys are aware of the statistics, but well over 3 out of every 4 high school graduates who's a regular attender at church stops attending church when they go off to college.
That number is too high.
I agree.
Any number is too high.
It's really more like 8 or 9 out of 10. But I'll say 3 out of 4 because I know that's definitely correct. Guys, it is important for you to have these relationships and for you to understand the importance of serving other people and having that relationship with Christ personally, not just something that you kind of associate with, you go to church because you call yourself a Christian, but rather that it's part of who you are. And so you go to be a part of something like Lyft or Ascend or Journey Groups because it's part of who you are as a believer. I don't want to see any of you guys in 6, 7, 8 years completely disjointed from a body of believers. I want you to be integrated, working alongside others, loving Jesus, loving people. If you guys are doing that in 6, 7, 10 years, I'm going to be super excited about that, all right? Now, one of the fun parts is some of our mission is to bring along as many people as you can with you. You guys see all these seats here? I heard somebody was asking me earlier, it seems like there's more seats here tonight. Yeah, okay. This is how many high school typically has, is something about like this. There's no reason on Wednesday night that we can't have this many middle school students here too. You can invite someone, bring them with you, tell them we'll play a silly game and we'll eat pizza and have fun, and they may get to learn something too. Okay? It's a great opportunity, so make the most of that. Bring people along with you, because if you're going to grow as a believer, you're going to want to be surrounded by other people who are believers too. So whether it's at a dance studio, whether it's on a sports team, whether it's someone in class, whether it's someone who lives in your neighborhood, talk with the people around you and get them involved. Even if they're like, no, I don't go to Cornerstone, but sometimes I go to this other church. Guess what? Tell them, why do you only sometimes go to that other church? You need to be, like, plugged in with your church. It's important, okay? If it's important to you, your friends will make it important to them, too. It's kind of how it works. It's called peer pressure, right? We tend to think of peer pressure only in terms of the bad that it is used for, you know, that you're doing fine and then peer pressure comes in and then suddenly you're doing terrible things and lighting animals on fire and betting on the lottery and, you know, that you're doing all kinds of drugs. And I mean, that's what peer pressure is usually associated with, is just like, you're exactly. people. People do, okay? So I want, all right, hold on. I want to encourage you guys to be living out these things, looking for these opportunities. You remember that was one of the blanks. Always be looking for opportunities because there are opportunities and you may not have thought about them before. So take that time in the morning to pray and ask the Lord, today, give me an opportunity to serve someone and help me to recognize it when you bring it. And start praying that every single day. And you know what you're going to start to see? Pastor Keith and I were talking about this a couple weeks ago, actually. I think Pastor Jason was too. We were talking about when we pray for God to give us an opportunity for something to happen, we see more fruit.